You never know whether you've got these things on right or not.
Hmm?
You never know whether they're on right or not.
Yeah. Well, so we hope.
Feels wrong. Okay. So David came in to me to say that something we'd been talking about for a while was some stuff I'd been mucking around about using these topic models with networks, with things with links between them, documents that are linked. It's actually, it's related to Ripple, but it's not actually that. This is something I haven't actually been working on for a couple of months now, just because I came up with something more interesting that I've been working on. But at the time, basically, I'd been trying to use PLSA and those types of models on web pages. And I came up with a big problem in that most web pages have very, very little text on them. But you can tell what they're about based on the other text on the site, the text on the things they link to. So what I wanted to know was, can you combine the topic models that describe the pages that have lots of text on them with something else that, that tells you what a page that has no or very little text on it, based on the links? Yeah, so quite simply, if you have a page one, which is like a home page, and it'll maybe have five links and a picture on it, and then because it links to page two and page three, can you tell what this is about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started looking at Google PageRank, which kind of does this by saying, well, the links go the other way. It says, if this page is about fish, or in Google, they say if this page is good in some way, and it links to this other page, and we don't know what this is, then that page is more likely to be good. And it's just PageRank's just a simple algorithm for doing this over a whole big network. So I wanted to combine the topic models that tell you beforehand what you think this page and this page are about with this to maybe get a better idea. So the idea is, say you've got some text on a page, that's only part of the picture about what of what the page is really about, and the links pointing to that page are also part of the picture. So I basically came up with an algorithm that's just that it plugs PLSA or plugs PageRank into PLSA. Right, so PageRank, you basically just you basically take the how good this page is, which is X, and how good this page is, which is Y, and you then say this page is based on how do you do this? Based on the links command to it. It's just a like a sum over all the links of X link, I guess.
Of the value.
Of the value. But it's
of
not.
The
it's
previous page rank?
Or? Yeah. So if this is page rank of X,
okay.
Page rank of Y, I think this is roughly it offhand. Page rank of Z. So you say page rank of Z is equal to 1 over a constant to normalize it. Sum over all the links into Z. Of page rank of the link. It's like that, yeah? So, similar idea. If you've got a vector that says what the topics are, so you've learned from PLSA a distribution of topics for every page. So if you say probability of topic one for page Z is equal to, and you can use the same sort of thing. Right, so nicking a whole bunch of maths from how you work out PageRank, it comes up with just an iterative algorithm, which is just the current probability of topic 1 given Z. So that's probability old plus plus that, and then you normalize between them, so you say alpha and 1 minus alpha. Yeah. So basically what you're saying here, 1 minus alpha, say, link contribution, we can call this, I guess. So what you're saying is that a page is partly from its text that you've got on the page, and it's partly from what the links say it's about. So that alpha thing is how much do you trust the text on the page, and how much do you trust the links. So that alpha could be different for every page. So what I did then was try this on a big database of web pages. I had some results from that, but they were all intent to, so that's not important right now. But that is not really important. I can regenerate that. The problem was that this gives you a new vector of topics for every page. So you've got two vectors. You've got the one that you just got from PLSA or whatever model, and you've got the one that you get from this. How do you tell which one's better? I had no way to evaluate this well. How do you tell that this page, because you don't know what the topics are, because they're learned automatically.
You have two representations, one which comes from this link and stuff, and one, this one is not based on PLSA2?
It is, because...
It's the initialization.
Yeah, you initialize it with... actually, this is kind of wrong. This is not old, but start. This is how you start it off.
It is iterative.
So this is what PLSA gives you to start with, and then you iterate this and it becomes something else.
Okay.
So you should first train the whole PLSA stuff.
Yeah.
Then you initialize this link spreading thing,
mm-hmm.
and then you iterate.
That's it, exactly, yeah.
And it converges, and so you have both the initial PLSA and the PLSA plus the link thing.
Exactly, yeah. So you've got PLSA gives you two probabilities, right? So it gives you a probability of a topic given a document.
Yeah.
Z given D, and a probability of a word given a topic.
Yeah.
So this is the same for both models.
What you do is
you're taking this and iterating over the probability of the topic given the document. So have I made that clear? I'm not sure if I'm explaining this.
You were saying that you would like to evaluate that now.
Yeah,
right?
So we were struggling. How do you evaluate this? Because and if you look at the way that PLSA and all those kind of models have been evaluated, they never quantitatively do anything. They always say, look at the clustering. Some documents that all appear to be about the same thing, and here we've got some other documents that all appear to be about the same thing, and you can't really tell exactly how good that is. You can just get an idea that it's...
Or they use the perplexity, or the likelihood. They say, this likelihood is smaller than the other.
Yeah, so that's the first thing that I think when I spoke to you about this, you suggested use the likelihood, and Pedro came up with a really good example of why that could be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the... let me think of what this was. It was to do with cars, basically. If you have a topic that's representing cars, and you can tell that that's representing cars by looking at this distribution, and it's the same for both.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to tell which. This page, Pedro's example of what it was, is that it says on the page Lotus Elise. Okay? And that no, I can't. I just remember it bizarrely. Can you remember what it was?
Oh no, really not. I don't remember it. But you said I would tell you that evaluation should be done based on likelihood or perplexity.
Yeah, I didn't really consider doing it on perplexity. Actually,
well,
that's
the same. It's basically the same, but
maybe you could have some other.
Another
task, like if you imagine you have some labeling of the web pages, like for example you look at the set of pages and you have the directory entries of those pages.
Okay.
So like Yahoo or Demos entries, so you have categories and entries. So for example you have cars, SUV, etc. So what you would like would be that two pages in the same category should be closer than two pages being spread across different categories.
Is that fair though? Because I think one of the things with these topic models is that you don't know.
You would not use the Yahoo directory or the directory in the training step of the model. Okay.
Okay.
This is something you have just for evaluation. And then, for example, your task would be to say, I have some page, and I know where it is in the in the directory, and I have another page. I don't know where it is, and I would like to know whether it is in the same category as the first one, just by comparing their aspects.
It's making the assumption that this human categorization is related to the one that is discovered.
If they have the same, so basically what you would like to check is the some similarity in the aspect distribution tells me something about the fact that they could be on the same category in the this and library categories.
Okay. And is that really fair though? Can you say that if a set of documents, if the clustering of these documents is closer to the effect of what you've got there is a clustering of documents as your evaluation, these labels, the Yahoo categories, that's a clustering.
Yeah.
So you're by saying that this clustering is closer to that clustering,
necessarily
mean that it's better?
No, it doesn't have to be. But if you use the latent representations or distribution over aspects, you could use this to say if two documents are in the same directory or not. And this you should be able to evaluate them.
So what you would have basically would be to have a directory which gives you labels for some part of the document. Okay, so this is a directory and this is some web page, okay? So the labeled one, okay? And you have some page which are unlabeled, but you have links between those two. So what you would do is that you would train both PLSA and the other model over that. Then you would like to, for example, what could be very simple would be just to match each pages like that. So let's say you have a page which is labeled, and you say okay, the label page 2 should be the one which it is the most similar to, or any kind of classification rules you can imagine. And so you say okay, what if I iterate from this page which have the similar, so the criterion would be to compare those two distribution, okay, and then you would like to assign to this document too, where you don't know the labels, the same one as this one. And here that you use only for test, so this is your ground truth. Then you can evaluate how wrong you are or how close you are from the real assignment to the right directory category.
Okay.
In this way, I think it's fair if you know only that and that, and what you would like to discover is this. This is a real task. Like if this directory company would like to extend this directory to new pages without the hassle of having human labeling.
But in this case, you have to use the label one. Yeah.
Yeah, you use this one. You only have the labels for some small
but
part.
But how does it enter in that?
Well,
so
I think your point was you train this without labeling first, yeah.
So you would train it. This is
your training.
All those links are known. The links between some labeled document and unlabeled document.
Yeah, well, the point is that you should change in a way that to take the label into account.
I think you can do it as a two-step process.
Okay.
First, you train. Well, maybe it could be better. If you take it into account, but maybe you can do just a two-step process. First one, you have this unsupervised task over both PL and PU, and then you from this unsupervised task you can know which document of PL is close from document of PU or the reverse, and you can infer some label.
Clearly, what we have done is you can train after that. An SVM saying this is category 1 or 2 on the labeled document, and then you have an unlabeled document and you just say this is directory 1 or 2. If it should improve, if you say this feature extraction process is better, then you're going to have better cleaner separation between those two.
Well, yeah, the thing that worries me about this approach is that, say, the really, really, really simple example of this where your directory had two categories in it, good and bad, and you run PLSA on it. Now, that doesn't do good and bad. It does, I don't know, English and French pages. So they don't match, but the clustering was still very good in one respect. But you can extend that up. Even if you have 100 categories, PLSA can find 100 clusters that are a good clustering but are completely unrelated to the directory.
But I mean, if you have to judge bad and good, it's with respect to a given task. I mean, you can't say, of course, it's always good because it's maximizing the
likelihood. But what I want to know is that which of them has the better representation of a given page. So given a random page and these two models, and the words that these two models give, which is more likely to...
But you can, you say, given a random page of PU, which of those two models is more likely to say, for example, that the page of PL, which is the most similar, so you take any distribution comparison scene, so Hoffman in his paper was doing just cosine similarity, but you can do KL anything. So you just compare those two distributions, so of D1 and D2, okay? And so with that you can determine, for example, for a document of the set 2, the most similar. So you select D1, so in this set, which is the most similar to D2 according to the distribution from one or the other model. And then for this document, you automatically assign to it the label of the document 1, and you check with this, which is your ground truth, if you are right or not. This is what this is very related to what Florent did with the keyword image annotation.
Yeah,
so you would have a set of keywords, the set of image labeled with keywords, and he has a set of unlabeled image with some ground truth, and he would check whether the label he assigned, so in this case annotation word, are correct. And I think it's fair setup.
Okay.
So maybe this classification rule is not the best. There might be some work to do. But the general idea, I think it's fair evaluation, it's a task.
Okay. I'm just concerned that that's...
That can
that it's answering a question that evaluates in some way, but maybe not in the way that... Well, it's maybe not in the same way I was thinking, but maybe it's a better way. So what I mean by that is that... Sorry, I'm trying to process all this. Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, it does tell you whether which clustering is better for this task.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tell you which clustering better represents the pages necessarily.
No, but according to this directory,
you could say that.
Yeah.
Possibly,
yeah.
It probably.
So I don't
think
there is any way to say generally this is better or worse.
There is
think
not
a
perfect clustering. What is the? How do you judge?
Has to be related to with respect to this.
Yeah.
This clustering makes
what's
sense.
Good with the directory is that you have a good coverage of various topics humans can label. But then if you want to detect different languages, this is another task. I think the task of this latent model is to discover some semantic, like some topic proximity between documents. And here this directory is doing the same thing, like associating some topics with some documents manually. So comparing them is good setup.
And you're not exactly comparing them.
I compare those two, like the PLSA and the one,
okay.
over the same task of assigning good directory. I don't know if it will provide good result or not, but it is clearly a benchmark for those two goals.
You can even keep the bag of words and do the cosine comparison or
also
on the
just showing just first how better this is with respect to bag of words and hopefully then how you
like
when you regularize P of Z given D is
you can have three setups
it's basic
basic cosine over the P of T given D so row dis empirical distribution,
mm-hmm.
and the two hidden aspect models.
I think
you still not come back.
I'm coming around to it.
We have to repeat over and over.
No,
this is like advertisement.
I think I get it. I think it probably is fair. I'm just I'm uncomfortable with it, but I think that will go if I think about it enough. But it just seems a little suspect. But I think that's just from the whole point that you can't tell which clustering is better. What I thought before was, could you get people to evaluate this by hand, basically? Could you give people a set of pages and, like, say you did it with five topics, for example. Now you give people five sheets, you give a user five sheets of paper, each with words in varying sizes representing the probability of that topic, for example. Try and give the user these pieces of paper to get an idea of what these topics are. That's this PW given Z.
Yeah.
And then you give them some pages and say which piece of paper would you put that with, and then you get like an intuitive idea, like how would a person cluster pages given what these topics supposedly are, because you've got something that's fixed, the P of W given Z, with respect to both models. I was hoping you could use that to
the hidden aspect, like the Z are come unsupervisedly. It's more like if you were giving the people, you said to them, okay, divide me this bunch of documents into five topics, and you don't give them the topics a priori, you know? So the two person could come up with very different, one is very interesting.
I've seen a paper in ICML where the guy was trying to learn what were the aspects of clustering. So I give several users, several person, a bunch of marbles, and they begin to say okay, and they have to divide it in five groups, and in the end it's always different, the clustering each people has, because it's completely subjective. But there is some characteristics that are from transparency, color, which are features that make the clustering that can be extracted even if the clustering is always different.
Okay.
So that's only to say it can be really infinitive.
See, the thing about web pages, I thought as well, and that getting humans to evaluate it in some way, is that you have most of the web pages that are, a lot of the web pages that are important in some way are home pages. So google.com doesn't actually say the word search on it, I think. It maybe says go, but you only know it's about search through the thing. But someone looking at it can tell that it's a search engine, because of the way it's laid out, because of the pictures on it, and because of all of that. There's a lot of information that's completely lost in this bag of words representation, and I was hoping that in some way you could use that to evaluate this. I have no idea how, but...
Say another example apart from this search. I don't get exactly what you mean. Don't use the Google page because it's too...
Even someone would provide very different labels, like someone would say it's a page in English, someone would say it's a web page which has very few information or anything. So I think there's no hard clustering, and what's good with those models is that they are intended to provide you some kind of way to compare two documents, rather than to give you predefined sets of documents. This is not hard clustering. I don't think one aspect or one latent topic has any sense by its own. When you have the whole set and the whole distribution that you can tell something. If you just take one of them alone, so you take all the P of Z given D and all of the P of W given Z, you can't do anything with that. It's the whole set, I would say, and this is how it should be evaluated, meaning that, like, for example, the Michael example about marble is that the point, what you can learn from all these sets made by people is that those two marble would be considered as more likely to be in the same set because they share some common properties which are not seen as the same for everyone. but they share some common properties that people will notice. And if you look at the all possible pairs of marble, you would have some much more agreement between people than if you look at the predefined sets people would just cut at some precise point. You know what's...
Okay, I think I know. But this is effectively what we have here, though, and that directory is one clustering of the marbles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're hoping that... So what you're saying is that I have two clusterings of marbles for my two models, and I have a test clustering of marbles. Is saying that one of these is more close to the test, to the one that's been given? What does that actually say?
You don't have two clustering of marbles. What you have is you have one clustering of marble,
mm-hmm.
which is this one, and then you have lots of people telling you, I consider those marbles as to have very salient feature that they share in common. I would like them to be in the same cluster, and those two.
Okay.
So, and one of them is labeled, and the other is not labeled. So you look at that, you say, oh, someone told this one was very similar, and this one is said to be blue, for example. I don't know if it's the label. So I put it in the blue bag.
Okay.
But you never use the blue bag. You don't ask the people to look at the blue bag. You just look at the people. You just ask the people to compare those two marbles. And then it happens that some of them have been clustered.
People being your algorithm. That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is a reverse motto.
Okay. Yeah, you just...
If I get that right, what the algorithms are still coming up with is, in this way, looking at a clustering of marbles, yeah? Each of the algorithms comes up with a different...
It comes up with, not with a clustering, but with some way to compare two marbles. Okay. Some algorithm would say, I consider those two ones are completely dissimilar. And the other one say, they are very similar. And if you find that in your unlabeled clustering, those two marbles happen to be in the same cluster, you said the other algorithm might be wrong. But you average that over lots of documents.
Okay.
Because the latent aspects really doesn't have to match the final directory category. It can be anything, but it's just a way of saying, yeah, those documents are similar in some sense. So.
Well,
it's just sometimes dangerous to say this latent aspect means this.
Okay, I'm convinced.
Yeah.
All right,
good.
So it's good.
Good.
All right. Well, thanks. Trying to think of anything I haven't said about the stuff I did. From looking at the results I got, it looked quite good. Just like hand reading them. And that one of the things I did was I started a web crawl at the EDAP homepage. It did not very many pages, only like 2,000 or something like that, but enough to get the pages that were close to EDAP to have a lot of links between them. So that there was enough to be able to run this link clustering algorithm. So what you find is that the pages are in EDAP, there's a lot of English-speaking pages and a lot of French-speaking pages. So of course this PLSA completely separated those out into categories. So when I looked at the word likelihoods, there were two topics. One was very clearly English words, the most likely word was the, and one was very clearly French words, the most likely word was the, I think. And
You had only two topics?
No, I had many topics. Yeah. The others looked like garbage. You couldn't tell what they might be. But anyway, that's often the case when you look at it. You can tell very clearly what one or two topics are, but not the rest.
The others usually don't mean anything.
Yeah. They make sense only. It's a global optimization. The likelihood is optimized globally over the whole aspects, etc. So it's you never ask the model to do hard clustering of documents. You just ask it to find a distribution of our aspects such that a document is more likely according to the restriction that the number of aspects is limited. And so it just makes sense on the looking at the whole set. So I think all evaluation should take that into account and look at the whole aspect set. Like here you look at the whole aspect set because you look at the similarity of two distribution. And any kind of thing where you unfold the model and look at it manually looks weird. Like in those Hoffman papers where show you columns with words or things.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, when I ran it on that, what I found was looking through some of the sites, I looked for the sites that the models differed on, that where one said it was probably an English page and the other said it was probably a French page. And I found a good few examples where you had a site that looked, well, one that I remember offhand was, it was a page and it was a big picture and links down the side, but the links were all pictures. So you couldn't, the words were in French in the links, but there were no words picked up by the, when I did the crawl for the model. And there was a small bit down here. And in this, there was a, meant to be a picture in there, but it didn't load, or it was meant to be something else. And it said, in English it said, 404, this page cannot be found. So all the words in this page were English, but it was very, very clearly a French page. So the first model said it was an English page because all the words were in English. The second model said it was very definitely a French page because all of these pointed to French sites and it was only pointed to, it was something.fr as well.
Okay.
So it wasn't a good point for you.
Yeah.
For your model.
So I found a couple of examples that were kind of like
this,
that.
Yeah. Okay.
But the problem that I found when I ran it, the thing that was a bad point was that if you have, I was trying to see if you could evaluate this with search, given some keywords, like which model would more likely find you a good document, that sort of approach. What I found was that, say you had, that's not too relevant necessarily, but if you have, say, a topic distribution for one page and it very, very highly scores on the PLSA for one of the topics, and that's right, okay? This model, because it's averaging out over all the pages nearby, all of the topic distributions become more flat. It becomes more uncertain about everything.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing or not.
Yeah.
In some cases, it's going to be a bad thing. Because every page is linked, by the way the algorithm works, every page is linked eventually to everything else. So every page has information incorporated in it, or the distribution learned for every page has information incorporated in it from every other page's distribution as well, so it averages out, it flattens all the distributions, depending on what this alpha is.
Yeah.
But also it depends on, that could be a good effect, because if you are highly reliable about one page, but all the pages leading to it are actually about very different topics, so you could say maybe I was wrong from deciding only due to the text that this page was about this aspect distribution, because all the other pages are voting in different direction.
Well, I think that the thing is,
well, there's a balance.
Yeah, there's a balance in that. For example, take a page like Slashdot. It's like a news site for geeks, and you have nerds. Yeah, news for nerds. All like hundreds of thousands of pages point to that, but they're about completely different things. So you, in effect, are losing information about what that page is about because there's so many things pointing to it, and the all average out is.
This alpha, can it be dependent of the document?
Yeah. So
how many text is in it?
That's my first idea, was how to set this. I remember what the Lotus thing was now. So I thought, you want to probably set this alpha per page. There's probably some heuristics. For example, this page, there's no text in it. We'll set it very low and use the information for the links. Problem is, this is what Pedro immediately said, what if you have a page that looks like this? It's got a big picture of a car.
Pedro always speaks about cars.
Yeah, cars.
Anyway, and it says Lotus Elise. So you know that it's definitely about a car, but it's only got two words. So you can't just do it by words because those two words completely specify it into something or other. You suggested doing likelihood, but at that time, and I can't remember what my problem was with that. It might not have been a good thing, but you've got two likelihoods for it as well.
But I think any kind of way you have to select those alpha, you have to look at the effect on the evaluation task. And then maybe you can find some patterns that are... Once you have the task, you could look at which pages are completely missed by one model, which others are successful with one model, and you can maybe infer some rules afterwards. But if you have no task, you can blindly select good alphas.
Okay, there's
like if you look at if you look at your task and you see that, I don't know, the long pages, for example, have good PLSA model without using links, So then you can infer some heuristics like, okay, the alpha should be proportional to the length or anything like that, or to the number of images in the pages or anything.
Mm.
But you should have some tasks where you can individually do cuts.
Yeah,
the performance
yeah,
on every page.
That,
yeah.
And as a second step, you could infer some kind of rule about how to select alphas with respect to the task.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe it's very simple rules,
yeah,
but select them blindly might be odd.
Yeah. So I think that there's two ways. You can do it with some heuristics, and you can learn it from the task results,
yeah.
Or combine the two. So that's kind of straightforward, I think.
Probably heuristic would be easier to compute.
Yeah. The thing about doing it through cross validation or something like that with the task is, the problem with doing a PageRank style algorithm is that it gets better. It converges better and it gives you better results the closer a network is to being a small world network.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small world network,
mm-hmm.
With
yeah.
basically some far links, but generally very clustered locally.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about doing a web crawl is the bigger your web crawl, the closer it will be to the overall structure of the internet, which is a small world network. The smaller your web crawl, the less small world network-like it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So the more pages you get, the better your results. And people running this style of algorithm, the PageRank style stuff, generally run it on about 2 million or 20 million pages or whatever. The Stanford web-based data set that I was using for this, for a bit of this, they have, I can't remember offhand, but they have maybe over a petabyte worth of web pages in this bunch of servers.
But still, like the work I did on hyperlinks, like I use the Wikipedia.
Yeah, maybe Wikipedia is a good thing to do.
I think it's because it has fairly high level of inside links.
What I was concerned about Wikipedia though was that it's, while it has a high level of inside links, it has a lot of directory style links as well that might mess up it actually being a.
Yeah.
See,
you can categorize them because they are, there's a structure on the web page. So you can select only the links which are within the article or within the category.
Okay, that's good.
It's well structured. It's easy to manipulate. And
yeah, plus, I guess it's actually straightforward to say to start with, is this a small world network, and then
You can even isolate the directory from the categories of Wikipedia.
You were running that on what was it, like 500,000 pages, something like that?
Well, yeah,
and
actually,
that was for half of it.
I divided in three equal size parts,
okay.
Which of 150 documents.
Okay,
the 1,000 documents. And, well, but.
Did you manage to divide the link properly?
Well, what I did with the link. Well, but this is not exactly the same setup you would have. So, in this setup, the whole link structure could be known, and the only thing you wouldn't know would be the assignation to to a category. In my setup, it was different because I couldn't use the links between different sites. But this is not. I don't want to mess you up with that. It's not the same kind of experiment. But you could just use the whole corpus like this.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of them, you assume you don't know the category assignment. And then you can run the set of experiments of our Wikipedia.
I mean, I think offhand, thinking about this model, it would have to work better because two things in the same category are going to be linked.
Yeah.
So.
But this is this is the hypothesis between this, in this PLSA with link stuff.
Okay.
I
think that it's going to be more true in some networks and in some tasks than others, and I think in Wikipedia.
But you can think also at other tasks like that. Like for example, you can take proceedings and assume the categories are the keywords of the documents, and then if you have the archive of a journal, you can use the links between the citation links. So if you want to have a bigger stuff, Wikipedia would be kind of very small with lots of in links, and then if you take a journal, you will have less links and more documents, and then you would be likely to say that PLSA might be better over that because you don't have enough links. So you can find examples which are not the web. I think it's good to work in closed set. Wikipedia is kind of closed set, even if there's lots of outside links, but there's lots of inside links. You have to think at database where there's lots of in links.
Mm.
Wikipedia might be one, citation, for example, if you take the NIPS archive, which is available, NIPS author always sits on NIPS author, which are often themselves, etc. Well, it's so crowded. I don't want to say anything. So, but yeah, I think this kind of setup, maybe web pages, it's hard to find sets of web pages which have good links stuff if you start from one page or something.
Okay. Yeah, I'll maybe have a look at the Wikipedia stuff anyway. I'm stuck doing something else for the next month or two anyways.
Okay.
This is always the case. There's another thing. This was new. I haven't thought about this too much, but it's on the same lines. And have you guys seen this correlated topic models work?
Which one?
Correlated topic models. It's David Bly, the guy that came up with LDA. He's got a new model that's is published in NIPS this year, but his co-author put it on the website a month or two ago. So, you know, LDA, you all know LDA? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So LDA, you basically draw a Dirich leaf which says like what type of document this is effectively, and then you draw a topic given the Dirich leaf distribution, and then you draw a word given that. All right. Well, that's for every word, and that's once for the document. And that's, you've got parameter coming at this globally. So that's roughly what the model is, plus other little bits. But anyway, so what they did was they reworked this, because one of the problems with LDA, and I think PLSA has this problem as well, and is that the more topics you have, the less expressive it can be, because the topics, it pushes a document. If it is pulling a document into one topic, it pushes another topic away from that. Doesn't that make sense? So the topics are necessarily trying to be different from each other. So the more topics you have, the more that they're sort of squeezing into the space of what things can be about, and things are kind of pushed out. So once you go over, they tried it on one corpus, and once you go over about 100, maybe 200 topics, you add more topics and it doesn't get better in any way.
Mm-hmm.
The model doesn't, the new topics are effectively going to just be garbage. Right, so what they did was they stopped using the Dirich leaf, and they're starting to use a Gaussian there. So and to spare the details, basically, they've got a variable here, I think they call it eta, and they from this generate a distribution of topics in some way, but it's generated from a Gaussian space, from a space, so it's given a mean and covariance.
But it's discrete.
Yeah. So what it does, this is the bit that took me forever to understand. Actually, same model, but this is given a Gaussian space. It maps that down into the simplex of what a topic can be about. The simplex, basically, if you've got you've got two topics. No, say you get three topics. That makes more easier to draw. For this is theta 1, theta 2,
mm-hmm.
theta 3. These are the probabilities that a document is about. Theta 1 is the probability that this document is about topic 1. Theta 2 is. So these guys all have to add up to 1. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So that basically means that what a document is about lies on this space between. Yeah. So this is the simplex. So basically, a distribution generated by this guy is basically a point on this simplex. So what they do is they've got a distribution that maps a Gaussian in some space into a distribution on this thing. So it maps it into a Gaussian and that. The cool thing about that is that if you've got two Gaussians, you can tell how close they are. So you can now tell how close two topic distributions are, right? So you can have as many as you like, and you can tell that they're close to each other. So there's loads of ideas that I had about this, in that if you can tell that two topic distributions are close to each other, so, for example, if you split a document into two parts and said that the two parts have to be close in their distribution, you can see how the document changes. For example, stuff based on that. With this idea, what if, rather than working with this P of Z given D thing that you get from PLSA, but what if you work from these Gaussians that you get for every document, and you said that in some function that said the Gaussian representing this should be similar to the ones linking to it. Now, I haven't thought about any of the maths for this, but it should be straightforward, I guess, to to formulate it basically in terms of the mean should be similar and the covariance maybe should be similar as well. So it might actually be a better model again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send you guys the link for that correlated covariance model stuff if
okay.
you want.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's too interesting to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, well thanks for hearing me out and the idea especially.
Okay.
Maybe
yeah.
I can do more with this.
Well, in three months.
Right, there are lots of good ideas that are recorded and someone will...
Oh yeah, it's too late. 3 months.
Yeah.
We should wait.
Yeah.
Because the data like will be released very soon.
Bastian, you can't release this data for 4 months.
That's frozen.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's useful to you.
Yes, actually. At some point I'm going to have to go to David and convince him to let me spend a month or two working on this again.
You don't have to convince, you have to say, I'm going to work on this one.
Have you met David?
he's still